The word of God chosen for our meditation this morning is recorded in the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our text. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On Sunday, we celebrated the third great festival of the church year, Pentecost. It's the day of the Holy Spirit. Christmas celebrates the gift of the Father who sent his Son for our salvation. Easter is the festival of the Son, his work of salvation won for us, proclaimed in his resurrection. And Pentecost is the festival of the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father and the Son to distribute that salvation. Two times in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is present in an outward, very tangible way. First, at the baptism of Jesus, when he descends in the form of a dove, and at Pentecost, when with tongues of fire, the apostles are empowered, the disciples are empowered as apostles in a ministry which is to be in effect for all time, and they are given the gift to speak the languages needed to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. About 40 years ago, there was a certain spiritual movement in the churches, which is sometimes called the charismatic movement. And one of its central points was that the Holy Spirit was somehow or another the forgotten person of the Trinity, and that more emphasis had to be placed on the Holy Spirit. The favorite image gracing books, banners, and church signs was what has always looked to me a little bit like a power diving dove. There was a similar movement, however, contemporary with the Reformation, when there were people who claimed to have direct revelations from the Holy Spirit, and their exaggerated form or emphasis on the Holy Spirit was such that Luther described them once as having feathers sticking out of their mouths, having swallowed the Holy Ghost, feathers and all. They were called Schwärmerei, the swarm, usually translated enthusiasts. Now, it's striking and rather odd that in many of those movements which thought that they were restoring the Holy Spirit to a more exalted position, to his rightful place, that in many of those movements, Christ himself and the work of atonement faded into the background, or in some cases, disappeared altogether. And the central focus in those movements often has become me, my subjective and inner feelings. At best, the focus was on the Jesus in me, and not so much on the Jesus for me, on my faith, not on the faith created by the Holy Spirit. Much forgotten in some of those movements were the words of Jesus in his promise made on the walk to the Garden of Gethsemane. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. The work of the Holy Spirit is to proclaim Christ, not himself. So wherever Christ's name is known, wherever his work for our salvation is known and believed, wherever there are believers in Christ, there the Holy Spirit is, and his work is being done. Martin Luther, as you know, summarized that work in his explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed in the Small Catechism. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, sanctified, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. And in those words, Luther paraphrases what St. Paul has said here in this text in his letter to the Thessalonians. God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God chose you to salvation. He wanted you. In that he wanted you, he also has the very power to bring it about that you should be his. St. Paul says that he has done this through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Most of the time when we hear that word sanctification, we tend to think about the outward Christian life, the good works and the pious devotion of the believer. But actually, when the word sanctification is used in the New Testament, it refers more often to something that is more basic and fundamental than that. What does it mean to be sanctified? It means that I am holy, that I stand before God as a righteous, holy saint without any blemishes in me. But this sanctification is not because I have become righteous, but because God sees me through Christ's righteousness and holiness. So Paul can say to the Corinthians, Christ is your sanctification. And that righteousness of sanctification or holiness, I have not by my own pious feelings or by my own work and goodness, but only because of Christ's own righteousness. The Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the true faith. That is what St. Paul teaches here. He called you by our gospel. This gospel, Paul says to the Romans, is the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel that Paul, along with the other apostles, has preached, because they have gotten it from the Lord Jesus himself. It's the gospel we have in the holy apostolic word. It's the gospel which comes to us in the apostolic ministry, established for the church of all ages by our Lord Jesus Christ, and which comes to you also from this pulpit. That's the gospel which sends you never to your own works, never to your own pious Christian life, never to your own good intentions. But it is the gospel which proclaims to you the forgiveness of sins, the righteousness of Christ, and life and salvation. When you honor the Word of God, when you confess that it is in the word of the gospel and the holy sacraments that God feeds you with life and salvation, then you honor and glorify the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit of this gospel in the written word, in the word that you remember and think about and study, and in the preached word. It is in the water made powerful by the word, which is poured on your head in baptism, the washing of life and regeneration, and in the blessed body and blood that you eat and drink in the supper. Where this word is, in all of its forms, there is God the Holy Spirit, pointing not to himself, but to the grace of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, God and Lord. Amen.